Hello, Kidman World. This is Carl Bastian, the kidologist from kidology.org, and Kidman Talk is back in 2012. Did I just say 2012? Man, it is hard to believe it. And as usual, you can help shape the show with your comments in the forum by sending your tweets to @KidmanTalk via Twitter or by emailing me directly at carl@KidmanTalk. If you're new to the show, Kidman Talk is my weekly webcast that exists to equip and encourage you in your children's ministry. It's aimed at leaders and volunteers who reach and teach children for Jesus, something I've been fully engaged in since God called me into children's ministry at the age of 10, over 30 years ago. Now, whether you've been on the site for 2 weeks or over 15 years, it is always an honor to pour into your life and attempt to build you up so that you can be better at what you do, reaching kids for Christ. Today's show is sponsored by Awana Clubs International, a ministry that also has as its mission to reach boys and girls for Jesus. And I'll be telling you about a very cool new resource that they have and how you can win a free copy. So hang on as we talk about this exciting new year and how you can make the most of it in your personal life and in your ministry. So let's talk Kidman. 2012. I cannot even believe those words coming out of my mouth. I mean, I thought by 2012 we would be, you know, flying around in cars and beaming to each other's houses. But it's true. It is 2012. And how many of you made New Year's resolutions, or have you gotten to that point where, you know, you're so discouraged by, you know, your lack of success in the past that you kind of don't even bother with that anymore? But I know many of you have probably decided that you're at least going to re-attempt to read through the Bible, right? You're going to read the Bible more, and maybe some of you have even decided you're going to read through the whole Bible. I mean, you've tried that and you've failed, and you know, how many of you have read Genesis, you know, like 30 times because how many times you've started to read through the Bible? And but some of you, you know, I know you're just not going to finish. You're not going to get through the whole Bible this year as much as you try. So for those of you who are trying again to read through the whole Bible this year and aren't gonna finish, I got a little treat for you. I'm gonna just tell you the whole story of the entire Bible in 4 minutes so that, you know, if you don't finish reading it this year, at least you got it here on Kidman Talk. So here is the entire Bible in 4 minutes, courtesy of our good friends at Creative Ministry Resources. Enjoy.
In the beginning, God, 6 days, sky and sod, land and water, plants and animals, let there be light. Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden, God's warning not heeding, ate the apple, fall of man, garden's out of sight.
Now be ready to listen carefully, because the words start to go really fast.
Cain and Abel, murder one, Noah and his three sons, animals, family two, in the ark, two by two, floods rose, high tide, finally went down and dried.
In 2012, every day,
if we'll only read it, we won't be defeated.
Abraham and Sarah, Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's wife turned to salt, Sodom got fried. Sarah had a baby boy, Abraham's pride and joy, sacrifice of Isaac, God will provide. Jacob made a pot of stew, stole his brother's blessing too, had to flee for his life and work 7 years for each wife. Joseph was his favorite son, had his colored coat on, his brothers filled with jealousy, sold him into slavery.
We're gonna read the Bible, read it every day, and then we will obey it.
Maybe your New Year's resolution could be to memorize this song.
Moses and the burning bush, give Israel a push. Word of God to Pharaoh, let my people go. Parting of the Red Sea, Israel's victory. 40 years in the sand before they reach the promised land. Oh, Israel wants a king. David kills the Philistine, plays the harp, writes the Psalms, has a son named Solomon. Kings of the people, building of the temple. Isaiah, Jeremiah, promised the Messiah.
Bible, read it every day, and then we will obey it. day and then we will obey it. We're gonna read the Bible.
And now, the New Testament.
Bethlehem, virgin birth, angels sing peace on earth. Shepherds come from afar, wise men see the star. Baptism of John, this is my beloved son. Out in the wilderness, tempted but sinless. Calling the disciples, performing all his miracles. Feeding 5,000, the kingdom is at hand. First betrayed, then tried, beaten and crucified. Rose again the third day, what else do I have to say?
We're gonna read the Bible.
There, so you got the whole Bible there in 4 minutes, and you're all set.
Upper room, Pentecost, Peter preaching to the lost, Paul and Silas on trial, preaching to the Gentiles, Romans and Corinthians, Hebrews and Philippians, hear the word from above, the greatest of these is love. Revelation came to John of the judgment and the throne, worthy is the Lamb and the New Jerusalem, Jesus coming back again, take us home to heaven, the beginning and the end, hallelujah, amen.
And there you have it, the whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, summarized so completely. Not bad, huh? Well, I love that song. It's a great summary of the Bible. And we do make all kinds of great resolutions, or at least when it's a new year, whether or not you actually make resolutions. It is a time of year that we get thinking about wanting a fresh start, both in our personal life and in our ministries. And how do we do that? Well, we can make resolutions about our diet and about reading the Bible and about what kind of parent we want to be and what kind of leader we want to be. But I thought it might be a great challenge right here at the beginning to take a look at what the Bible says about resolutions. You know, the word resolve is in Scripture, and the definition of resolve is to come to a definite or earnest decision about something and determine to do something. You know, 1 Corinthians 2:2 says, I have resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Isn't that a great resolution? Philippians 3:13, Paul also says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times I read a lot of blog posts and a lot of things about don't make resolutions, you know, and they really kind of downplay it. And I think that's a defeatist attitude because of the annual reality of people not being able to keep them. And a part of that's because they don't make SMART goals. And another time, maybe I'll blog post about what SMART goals are. And you can Google SMART goals and it'll come up number one, what SMART goals are. So I'm not even going to give you what that acronym is. But Paul's saying we need to forget what is behind. That's 2011. Your successes as well as your failures. You need to forget those. Sometimes we coast on our successes as well as dwell on our failures. And we need to focus on the future. And it's a great time right here in January to say, I need to focus forward and say, what does God have for me in the future? He says in 2 Corinthians 5:9, and by the way, don't write these references down. They're all in the show notes. He says, so we make it our goal to please Him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. What an awesome New Year's resolution. What an awesome goal to please Him. And what a sobering reminder that we are going to give an account to God for everything we do. We are going to give account someday before God for what we do in 2012. So why not make some goals and resolutions for what kind of year we are going to have? In Hosea 6:3, it says, let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge Him. What a great resolution. We want to acknowledge God in everything we do. It says, as surely as the sun rises, He will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, I don't know how many of us want to actually do that holy kiss thing. But aiming for perfection. All right? 1 Timothy 4:19, where he says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially for those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers. What a great resolution and goal to be an example for others. And he gives five areas: in your speech, in your life, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. And what about Daniel 1:8? But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself. To make a goal or resolution that you will not be defiled by the world around you. And then there's a warning in Galatians 3:3 where he says, are you foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? We have to realize that we can't do this on our own. In my New Year's lesson that I taught over the New Year's weekend, I did all the children's church services at my church, and the lesson's linked in the show notes. I updated it, so you'll only find this in the updated document linked at the bottom. I came up with five C's for change that I gave to the kids, and they apply to us. Sometimes we teach the kids and we forget to apply them to ourselves. And that first C, if you want to change in this new year, and this probably, I would assume, all of us have done this first one, but it wasn't necessarily true of the kids, and that is confessing Jesus as Lord. We have to be a believer. You know, that Galatians 3:3 applies here. We can't do it on our own. You've got to have Christ in your heart. Your change has to come through the Holy Spirit. So number one, you've got to be a Christian. You've got to confess Jesus as Lord. But that second C is that we've got to want to change. So that second C is the word change. I know I'm using the word in the five C's, but if we don't want to change, the status quo is going to linger. We're just going to continue to be the same person we've always been unless we decide that we want to change, and unless we admit that we need change. And the third C is that we must put Jesus in charge. We have to intentionally say, Jesus, I want you in charge. Just being a Christian, just having Jesus in our life isn't enough. We've got to continually hand the reins back over to him. The fourth C is we must listen to and accept correction. Now, with the children, I was talking a lot about how they may not enjoy being corrected by their parents and teachers and leaders. They don't have to, you know, think it's fun, but they've got to accept it. But that gets hard our whole life. And we've got to be willing to listen to correction, accept correction, even when we think people are totally out of line and they're being obnoxious and they don't have the right or the authority to correct us. But you know what? If they're 98% wrong, there's 2% that they're right. And even if they're totally wrong, and it's a perception only, well, then we need to think about that perception and seek to correct that perception. We've got to be teachable. And then that last C, we must become champions over sin. That doesn't mean we fight sin. That's another whole conversation, but we can't get into now. But you can't be a victor over sin on your own. Christ has already been the victor. I recommend the book Grace Walk. You can Google that and find that. We're already victors. We need to walk in that victory, but you've got to get victory over sin through the power of Jesus. But you've got to confess Jesus as Lord. You've got to want change. You've got to put Jesus in charge. You've got to listen to and accept correction. You've got to become a champion over sin. And as you apply those five C's of change to your life, you will begin to see change in your life. And that's how we begin to find change in our personal life. And we all want that. And I would challenge you to ignore those blog posts that say don't make New Year's resolutions. You should. And don't worry about the fact that you might not keep them the whole year. You know what? If you kept them for 3 months, then those are a great 3 months. And then make some new ones in 3 months. There's nothing magical about January 1st. If you kept New Year's resolutions for 3 months, fine. If you kept them for 5 months, fine. Maybe your New Year's resolution is just to keep your New Year's resolutions longer than you kept them for last year. Wouldn't that be an improvement? See, it's not about becoming perfect. It's about improvement. It's about the direction that we're moving in. So I don't worry about the fact that I'm not perfect, because if I was, I'd really be depressed, because I'm far from perfect. But let's talk about our ministries. How do we improve our ministries? I put a bunch of links in the show notes to be helpful to you. One of them is a fresh look at your ministry. You can start your ministry over at any time, and the new year's a great time to consider that. But we get stuck in a rut in our ministries, and sometimes we need to step back, almost fire ourselves. If you need me to fire you, you're fired, okay? I'll be Donald Trump here. You're fired. And you need to almost fire yourself. You need to take the perspective. What if 2011 me was my predecessor, and he got fired, she got fired, and now I'm the new children's pastor? Walk into your office as though you just got hired. What would you change? Look over the ministry with an objectivity. Walk around the building with an objectivity and say, what is terrible here? What would I change? What would I slash? What would I add? And try to look at your ministry through a fresh perspective. And sometimes you need to actually ask other people to help you get that fresh perspective. Now, one thing you never want to do as a leader is pass out a survey. Never survey your volunteers and leaders. You know why? Because a survey gives people the impression that they can tell you what to do. And surveys also tend to be very negative. So what I do, and I've got it linked in the show notes, is something I call reflections on our children's ministry. Because when you ask for people to reflect on the children's ministry, you're just asking them for their thoughts, for their opinions, for their reflections. You're not saying, tell me what to do. You're saying, you know, I just want your reflections. I want you just to kind of give me your thoughts, and I'm going to weigh those thoughts. And then I also explain in that post, you don't give this to everybody. Because when you pass a survey out, you usually get no results, right? Or you only get results from the hypercritical negative people. So you get a bunch of negative surveys, and then you think, man, I'm a terrible children's leader or a terrible person because I got all this negative feedback. Because positive people usually don't give any feedback because they like everything. And then everyone who doesn't like everything, they give you these scathing survey results. So what you do is you pick some key people. And you go to those key people and you say, you know what, I'm just doing a survey, if you want to call it that. But I want to get some feedback on the ministry. But I'm only picking key people. And I really value your opinion. And I would like to hear from you your honest thoughts on our children's ministry. And I would appreciate some positive encouragement. But I'd also appreciate some constructive criticism. Be nice. I've got feelings. But I really do want you to give me some honest feedback. And I'm only asking a very small handful, so I really do need this back from you. And then give these to key people. And do give it to some of your critics. So don't just give it to people that are going to scratch your back and compliment you. But give it to some of those folks too. But challenge them to not just give you that positive stuff. Go to key leaders, go to key volunteers, go to key parents, and then even go to some people that are completely outside the children's ministry that you think don't have a clue about the children's ministry, and you will be surprised the insights that they'll have as an outsider, because there will be things that they see that you're not aware of that they see, because they will have some complete objectivity. And then you take that and explains in there how to remove their names and number the responses and then break those responses apart so that you're looking at each answer individually from each one. You're not prejudiced by who said what. And then you analyze those and you really learn from your ministry. And then I've got a link in there to some year-end evaluations, how you meet with each person and you evaluate them, help them self-evaluate themselves. And then I've got an event planning evaluation in there from a great friend of mine, children's pastor, Andrew Vanderlinden, who, by the way, I'm dropping his name right now. So if he comments or posts or contacts me, he will win a prize. And then if you really want to dive into evaluating your time and your ministry and what you do, I would really challenge you to check out the Kidology Online Training Video Lab, Define, Refine, and Shine. And if you're a Kidology member, you can watch the training video for free. It's in there in the online training section. And with all of those labs, the video is free to watch. It's a full-length training video that you can watch just as a member. Just go in there and watch the video. But then there's a download kit for an additional charge that you can watch, that you can download. Then you get to own the video. You can actually download it to your iPad or your iPhone. You can watch it full screen then. And there's also a PowerPoint where you then can take your team through a training process. And there's a whole book then that goes with it that walks you through a process of evaluating everything in your life, all these different categories. You reduce them down to these 3x5 cards. You spread them out on a table. You categorize, you organize, and you really evaluate everything that you're doing. This is something I do on an annual basis, just to completely process and look at everything I'm doing. What am I doing? Where's my time going? And you may want to really take advantage of doing that. Now today we've got a winner on the show, and I'm just going to drop his name right now. And his name is Bailey Maynard. He sent out a shout out on Twitter, and I'm going to send him a free download of the Leadership Lab number 5 just for doing that shout out on Twitter. And I would challenge you to take a look at that Leadership Lab and take some time here in January and carve out a couple of days to do some evaluation of yourself and your time, and really use this month, if it's a downtime for you, to do some evaluating and setting some goals and making sure that you're not just stuck in a rut, doing the same thing, going on autopilot, doing what you're always doing, because it's a key time for you to make sure that you're being smart about the use of your time. Now, if you're buried, if you're overwhelmed, if you're saying, I don't have time to evaluate, I can barely get ready for Sunday, I've been there, I know exactly what that's like, then what you do is you look at your calendar and you say, I need to make that time. It might be in February. It might be in March. It might be in April. You know what? I have a retreat that I do called Yosemite Summit. Maybe you've heard about that. That is a time that I have blocked out every May where, and I don't use it for planning, but I just block out a week where I get away from everything and I turn everything off once a week. Once a year for an entire week. But you can block out a time for planning. You might have to say no to something. You may have to just say there's going to be a week of club and church I don't do. You may need to bring in a special magician, a special guest speaker. You may need to tell your team, you know what, there's going to be a week coming up in a few months that I'm not doing children's church and I'm not doing the Awanas or club or whatever it is. And you may just need to build that in and plan it right in so that you'll have basically a week off of your regular planning and your regular teaching. And then you take that week and you do your planning and evaluating and kind of getting back on top of everything that you're doing. It's important. It's vital. And you got to be proactive enough to do that and make sure that you make that a priority. You will be so glad you did, because the time it will buy you later is valuable. And if you say you don't have time to do that, the reality is you do. Because what happens when a toothache comes, your tooth breaks, and you're in excruciating pain? You drop everything and you go to the dentist, right? And you're sitting there in a dentist chair and you got drills going into your mouth. Is that fun? You're getting a root canal. All of a sudden, you had time for a root canal. And then you're laid up in bed. What happens when you get sick and you're suddenly off work for 3 days? Did the ministry survive? Absolutely. The ministry survived. You spent 3 days in bed doing nothing, watching TV, eating soup and crackers, and the ministry survived. Well, you can do it for a root canal. You can do it for the dentist. You can do it when you're sick. Why can't you do it for planning? You just have to say, this is an emergency. I have got to take 3 days, 2 days, or a 6-hour block of time, carve it out, push everything aside, turn off the email, the voicemail, everything else, and dive in and do some evaluating and planning. And if you do it, it will create more time and more energy and everything for everything else. And it will just beautifully bless your ministry and you and your family. So I challenge you to do that here in the new year. It is so critically important to your sanity and everything else. And you might as well take advantage of looking at the other leadership labs, especially the first things first. Because if you're really drowning and you're really feeling that pinch, in addition to that number 5-1, you may want to actually look at that leadership lab number 1, first things first. And if you really feel like you're just breaking, you just send me a private email at that Carl at Kidman Talk. I'll send it to you for free. I mean, if you just got the straw above the water and you're taking in water and you're drowning, it's Psalm 69 time for you. Believe me, I've been there. I know what that's like. And I will be more than happy to just send out that lifesaver to you so you can start to feel some relief because I know what that's like. Hey, our letter, our Kidology, Kidman, keyword for this week. We didn't do the guessing for it, and I'm not going to take a whole show about it, but I'm going to go with the original Kidman keyword that was in the original Kidology handbook, and that was kindness. You know, in ministry, there are so many important things we have to do and so many things that happen, but you know, in everything we do, we need to never forget the importance and the value of kindness. Proverbs 19:22 says, "What is desirable in a person is kindness." You know, I think that just kind of says it all. Never forget in all of your conflict situations, in your phone calls, in all of your dealings, a kind person can just transform so many different situations just by dealing in kindness, talking in kindness, and just remembering that it just makes a world of difference. Now, many people would have expected K to stand for Kidology, but these are kind of the Kidology key words. If you really want to have some fun and do a review of what Kidology is all about, maybe you're new to Kidman Talk and you're wondering, you know, what is this Kidology, the study of kids, all about? I did a podcast on what is Kidology with my co-host. Yeah, remember me? Gus. And we did a podcast together, and you can go back through the archives and see that podcast on what is Kidology. And Gus and I broke that all down in some fun ways, and you can enjoy that. But as you go into this new year, just don't forget kindness. Let that just be a gentle reminder this week to let your words be seasoned with kindness, your actions, your hands, everything you do, just be seasoned with kindness. Well, the last thing I have for you today is to tell you a little bit about Awana Club's awesome new iPhone, iPad app, and it's the Sparky app. And it is really cool. It is a storybook app that you can download and kids can read it, or it will be read to you if you, depending on which option you choose. And it's a really fun, colorful app. I encourage you to go to the Apple Store on your iPhone or on your iPad and just put in Awana Sparky and look that up. I've got it linked in the show notes and check that out. It's very affordable and you can download that. It's a great story about little Sparky, and he's got this little light that he lights up, but then the kids kind of tease him and so he stops using his light, and then some things happen, but I don't want to spoil the cute little story. It's got a great moral lesson to it, and so I encourage you to download that app and share it with your children. But if you email me and tell me just what Awana stands for, the first five people to email me at carl@kidmantalk.com and tell me what does Awana, A-W-A-N-A, stand for, I'm going to reply with a download code, and you will get a free copy of the Sparky app for your iPad or your iPhone. So check that out right away. Also, go to Awana.org. If you do not have an Awana Club in your church and you're looking for a great way to reach boys and girls for Christ in your community, you definitely need to check out Awana. I've had one in every single one of my church ministries, and it was not only the most effective ministry in our children's ministry, but it was the most effective outreach ministry of our entire church. It not only brought kids to our church, it then brought their parents, it brought entire families, and our church grew because of our Awana Club. And the Sparky app is just another fun way that Awana is reaching out and letting people know about Awana Clubs. You definitely need to check out Awana. And also throw out a plug there for Larry Fowler's book, Rock Solid Kids and Raising a Modern Day Joseph. Two must reads for every children's pastor, children's worker who is serious about raising up disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, thanks again for joining me here on Kidman Talk from Kidology.org. Be sure to drop into the forum or by Twitter or email and let me know what you think the Kidman keyword is going to be for the letter L when we get back together. And I'm going to have a very special guest next time, so you don't want to miss our next show, because he's a guy who many of you know, many of you use his resources, and now he's got an exciting new book coming out that's going to tie into our Kidman keyword. So don't miss the next exciting episode of Kidman talk. And until then, I hope you have a fantastic beginning to 2012. And I hope you'll be intentional in taking some steps to make it the best year yet for you and your Kidmen.